The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bo, and we are speaking here about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Exodus, going out of Egypt, the culmination of the Ten Plagues. Now, in Parsha's Bo, in Shmeis Yud Beis, Pasuchov Vov, it states, V'hoyo ki yemru aleichem b'neichem mo ha'aveda azeis lochem. The Torah is telling us about the Korban Pesach. This is the Paschal Lamb. And then it states that when your sons will ask to you, what is this avoda, what is this entire service to you? So you shall explain them, Amatam zevach Pesach hu l'Hashem. It's a Pesach to Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of the Jewish houses as he plagued Egypt and so forth. A little further in the Sedra, in the Parsha of Kaddish Likol Bechor, there the Torah tells us in Pasuk Ches, Shmesh Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches, V'igaret Levincha B'yemahu Leymor, that you shall tell your sons on this day, on the day of Pesach, saying, Ba'avur ze osa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzroim, that for this sake Hashem did all of this for me when he took us out of Egypt. And this is written in the Parsha of sanctifying the firstborn. Then a little further in our Sedra, near the end of the Sedra, this is also in the Parsha of the firstborn, it states, V'hoyo ki yisholchu, this is in Shmeshu Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet, V'hoyo ki yisholcho vincho mocha leymor, that in the future, when your son will ask you, Mazeis, what is this? Mazeis, what is this? V'amate lov, and you shall tell him that b'chizik yod ha'tzionu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'beis avodim. You shall tell him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with a strong hand from the house of slavery, from the land of Egypt. So three times in our parsha do we have the Torah tells us that when your son shall ask, each way it's phrased differently, and the answer given. That's all in our Sedra. There's a fourth place also, in Parshas Vayeschanan, Vov, Perik Vov Posuk Chof, Ki Sholcho Vincho Mocha Leymor, that when your son will ask you in the future, saying, Mocha Edus Vachukim Vamishpotim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, what are all of these witnesses, these testimonies, these statutes, these laws which Hashem has commanded you? Vamata Levincho, and you shall tell your son, Avodim Hoyinu Lefara B'mitzroim, that we were slaves unto Paro in Egypt, and Hashem took us out with a strong hand. So we have four times in the Torah where the Torah says that there'll be a time that your son will ask you, what is this all about? And you must explain it to him. Three times in our Sedra and one in Parshas Vayeschanan. Why is it necessary so many times? So Rashi tells us on one of these psukim, Rashi says, B'pasha Rishayna Nehmer V'hoya Ki Yimru Aleichem B'neichem O Aver Ezeis Lachem B'ben Rosh HaKosim B'daber, that each statement is referring to a different type of son. One is referring to the wicked, and one is referring to the son that doesn't know how to ask, and so forth. And that's why the Torah tells us so many times. So this is the source which we have in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which we are all familiar with, that we say, Keneged Arba Bonim Divrei Torah, that the Torah here is referring to four sons. The Haggadah tells us as follows. Kineged arba bonim dibra teira, echot chocho, ve'echot rosho, ve'echot tom, ve'echot sheni yodei lishul. One son is the wise one son is the wicked, one is the simple son, and one is the one who doesn't know how to ask. And then, chocham ha'emer, what does the wise son say? Mo'edus ba'chukim ha'mishpotim asher tziva Hashem elekeinu eschem. What are the statutes, the testimonies, the statutes and the laws which Hashem has commanded to you? This is the posuk in the Seder further on in the Sefer Torah in Parshas Veschona. Roshu Moho Eimer, what does the Roshu say? Mohaveda Zeis Lachem, what is all of this service to you? This is the first posuk that we quoted in our Sedra. Tom Moho Eimer, Mazeis, simple son, what does he say? He says, what is this? This is the last posuk we quoted. Husheni Yedei Lishol At Pshachle, and the one who doesn't know what to ask, so you must open him up, and as it states, V'igadet Alevincho B'yemahu, that you shall tell your son on this day what it's all about. This is the next to the last posuk that we quoted. Now, why is it necessary for the Torah to tell us with four different sons, and what does this all mean? So the Maral in his commentary on the Haggadah explains as follows. This is referring to four sons of four different people. Not necessarily children, adults also, but four different types of people. And there are four different types. There is the Chochem. The Chochem is the wise one. And this is referring not only to a wise son, but the righteous one. Someone who through his wisdom, he grows in righteousness, and he perfects himself. Then we have the antithesis to this. And this is the Roshah. Now, this is also a very clever person, a brilliant person. But he uses his witness, he uses his wisdom instead of to add to his righteousness, he uses his wisdom to add to his wickedness. He becomes more evil with his wisdom, and he is called the Roshah. Then we have one who is on a lesser level of wisdom, where he is the Tam, he's simple. He has a certain degree of wisdom, but less than the previous ones. He is called the simple son. And then we have one who has the least wisdom of all, where he doesn't ask at all. He doesn't ask like the one before, who didn't ask with wisdom, but he asked at least, but this one asks not at all, and he is the She'eni Yedei Lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask at all. Now, the Chochem, the wise one, and that's the one who says, Moho Edus V'Hachukim V'Mishpotim, what are all of these testimonies and these laws and these statutes and these laws? How do we know this is referring to a wise one? We can tell from his question, because his question is a very wise question. He has already in his question organized and clarified many things for us. He didn't just say, what is this all about? He said, what are these testimonies? What are these statutes? And what are these laws? An edus, a testimony, that's a certain type of mitzvah which testifies to something. For example, Pesach Matzun Moro. The Korban Pesach testifies. It's called Pesach, which means either that Hashem had compassion or it means that Hashem skipped over. So it testifies to the fact that Hashem had compassion on us and skipped over the houses of Yisrael when he came to destroy the Egyptian houses. This is how Rashi brings. So this Pesach, which was a sacrifice, testifies to something. Matzah testifies to the fact that We didn't have time that our bread should rise before we could bake it, so we had to bake it immediately because we left Egypt in a hurry, and we ate matzahs. Moror, the bitter herb, testifies to the fact, vayimoraru eschayehem, that they embittered our lives. So these are mitzvahs which are testimonies. Chukim is a mitzvah which is known as a statute, a mitzvah which does not have an apparent reason. Has a reason, but the reason is very deep and many times concealed. For example, why must the sacrifice be a sheep? Why must it be 1 year old in its first year? There's a mitzvah that it should be broiled, it should be roasted when eaten. There's a mitzvah we shall not break any of the bones when we eat it. Now, these are what we call chukim, statutes, because they do not have an apparent reason. And then we have mishpotim. These are mitzvahs which have apparent reasons. For example, states in our sedra, kol ben necher lo yechal boi. Anyone who does not believe in the Almighty and Hashem, he must not be included in the Korban Pesach, in this yantif, in the eating of the Paschal Lamb. But we understand why. Because this was a mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. Through this they became a nation, and through this they went out of Egypt to receive the Torah. So when he asks his question, he's already clarifying and organizing everything for us. He's saying, Moha Edus, what are the reasons of these testimonies? Moha Hukim, of the statutes, the Hamishpotim, and the laws. So from the question we can tell that he's a Chocham, he's a wise person. The Gemara always tells us, Shelis Chochem Chatzi Tshuva. The question of a wise person is half the answer already. Because he doesn't merely ask, what's this? See, he categorizes everything. He asks with a keenness, with an insight. So this is a simen, this is a sign of a wise person. This is how we know that the one who's asking is a wise person. Now, where does the Torah write this question? It's interesting. All of the other questions are written by the Parsha that's speaking about the mitzvahs of Pesach. His question is written in Parshas Vayeshanan, and then we are not speaking about the mitzvahs of Pesach. We are speaking about all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Why does the Torah put his question there? Because a true wise person doesn't only ask in specific areas. He's interested in learning everything. He doesn't want to know just this and not that. But he has a yearning for knowledge and for truth in every field. He wants to know everything. This is the sign of wisdom. And therefore the Torah does not place his question by a specific area, prat, but by a klal, generally. And he asks on all of the mitzvahs. What are the reasons for all of the mitzvahs? He doesn't need anything in particular to awaken him to ask. Many people, as we'll see later on, their curiosity has to be awakened. Their interest has to be awakened. Otherwise, they're not interested, they're bored. The sign of true wisdom is a person who awakens himself, who interests himself. We once said, this was relevant to other shiurim or shiur in regards to Hanukkah, that the Chazal say that the symbol of wisdom was the nomer, the leopard. The leopard is known for his aggressiveness. The leopard is known for his courage. Wisdom is aggressive. Doesn't wait for someone to come and teach him, but he wants to know, and he goes forward to learn. This is what is stated in the Mishnah in Ovis. Ezel Chochem Halemin Mikolodu. Who is the wise person? Someone who learns from everyone. Why don't we say, who is the wise person? Someone who knows a lot, right? That's not the sign necessarily that he's wise. Wisdom is the one who wants to learn from everything and everyone. He is constantly learning, constantly trying to find further truths. So therefore, someone who you see always wants to learn from everyone, that's a sign of wisdom. Therefore, the Torah sets his question, not in a specific area, but when it's speaking of all of the mitzvahs in general. What should we answer him? So on that, the Baal HaGadol writes, we must answer him, V'afato emaleki hilches ha-pesach. You must tell him the laws of Pesach. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikamen, that after we ate the sacrifice, sacrifice was eaten at the end of the Suda. See, in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, in the night of Pesach, they had a Seder. And at the Seder, they ate matzah, mor, and Pesach. In our times, we don't have the Beis HaMikdosh, so we don't have the Pesach. And they ate it at the end of the Suda. And at the after they ate it, they weren't allowed to eat anything else. This is what you must teach them. What does this mean? Now, this is the last Mishnah which is brought in the entire Masechta Pesachim. This is the last halacha of all of the laws of Pesach. So this means you must teach him everything. If you have a son like that, if there's an individual like that, you have a student like that, then you must teach him everything. You must not hold anything back from him. Tein l'chochom yechkam od. A chochom, you must give him wisdom, and he will grow in the wisdom. So this is the story of the Chochem. Now we have the Rosho. By the Rosho, he says, Mo ha'aveda hazeh lachem. What is all of this service to you? From the fact that he says to you, he's not referring to himself. Hotzi asatz mimena klal. So this means that he has excluded himself from Israel. And since he has excluded himself from Israel, kofa bi'ikr, he now denies Hashem and Israel. What is all of this to you? To you, but not to me. So he has excluded himself, and he doesn't want a part of Israel. He doesn't want a part of the Almighty. His question is written where? It's written right in the discussion of in the Torah of the Korban Pesach, of the sacrifice. And that's why he says, Moha Avoda Hazeishlochem. What is this Avoda? Sacrifices are referred to as Avoda. Avoda means the service that an Eved, that a servant does for his master. The sacrifices were an illustration, an expression of servitude. Why is his question there? Now many times we come in contact with these Rishoyim, they're wicked people, that they want to exclude themselves from Israel. And it's not that they're not interested in Torah, they're against Israel, they're against Hashem. They don't want any part of it. What's bothering them? What's bothering them, the Maral says, is a nereitze ba'avoda. They do not want servitude. Servitude demands where a person gives of himself to the Almighty. This is the Ol Malchus Shamayim. This is accepting the yoke of Hashem. This is the Shema Yisrael, where we accept upon ourselves that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, we will do. It is at this point that the Rosh rebels. He doesn't want this. He does not want servitude. He wants his liberty. Actually, we find that probably the most powerful movement that the last few decades have witnessed was the movement, the liberalist movement. The so-called liberal movement. And what was that? To liberate oneself from laws that were always upon men. See? To free oneself from those disciplines that always existed. And from there they went to from one step to the other step to the other step. To the point where we heard they would tell us that
It's all right if you don't get married. It's all right if you don't have children. It's all right if a man marries a man and a woman marries a woman, and so forth and so on and so on. See? And this was known as the liberal movement. It incidentally seems to be coming, thank God, to its end. See, that there is strong indications the world over that the world has had enough of it. But this was the so-called liberal movement to liberate oneself from the shackles which they claimed society unjustly put upon them. So it wasn't society. These were the disciplines that the Almighty created the world with. But this is the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah does not want to be shackled. He wants his so-called liberation. So therefore, when it comes to the Korban is the illustration that everything belongs to the Almighty. And Yisrael belonged to the Almighty. And that's why it's called Avoda, from the word Eved. He comes along and he says, Moha Aveda says, what is all of this? Lohem to you, not to me. I'm not included. He's a clever person. Those, the heads of the liberal movements, were brilliant people. They're very clever. There's nothing wrong with their minds. But they refuse to discipline themselves to the disciplines of the world, to Hashem and His Torah. Now, what do you do with a person like this? And this, the Baal HaGadol tells us. There are some people that it's a mitzvah to explain, it's a mitzvah to teach, it's a mitzvah to bring close. There are other people that it's a mitzvah to keep at arm's length, keep them far away. It says, Afato hake yashino. You don't sit down and debate with him. You don't sit down and try to teach him. But hake yashino, you answer him sharply. You break his teeth with your words. Right? And you tell him, you said, what is all of this to you? In other words, to you and not to me and not to you. You're right. He says, it's to me and not to you. It was given to me and to others like me, not to you. You want to exclude yourself, you're excluded. If you were in Egypt, you would not have been redeemed. You would still be there. And that's what the Torah tells us. Hamushim, that they only 1/5 went out. 4/5 remained behind. Because there were a great deal of people that didn't believe. And those that did not believe, or those that did not want to become, submit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they remained behind. And they weren't redeemed. And this is what you tell him. Now, why do we do this? Here the Torah is teaching us that on some people, you cannot influence them. They are achete umachtias achetim. Not only are they people who are achetim, are they bad people in their own rights, but they try to influence their evil on others also. And therefore, if you will try to influence them, firstly, you will become influenced. Keep your distance. And if you bring them too close, they will influence others with their poison. So a person like that, who is contrary to Torah, who is contrary to Hashem, who is contrary to submission to Hashem, keep him at arm's length. There are many people, like we'll see in a minute, that it's a mitzvah to bring close. These individuals, it's a mitzvah to be merachik, a mitzvah to push away. If one day they'll do tshuva, and they'll want to come back, all right, then we will accept them. But not at this point, because they will only cause ruination. This is what states in the Mishnah Ovis Al Tiskabel Rosho. That when it comes to a Rosho, keep your distance from him. Don't become chaverim with an evil person. And in Ovis Rav Nosson it states, Afilo le Torah. Don't become chaverim even to teach Torah to an evil person. First he has to make himself right, and then we'll talk. So this is the second son, this is the Rosh Hashanah. is assuming he would not be considered. Sometimes we can perhaps justify a bit if he was someone who never had any background or education whatsoever, and he was never taught better, then perhaps we could justify trying to set him right if possible. Now we go to the third son. The third son is the Tam. The Haggadah tells us, Tam Maho Emer Mazreis. He says, what is this? And you should tell him, Bechezek Yad, Eitzionu Hashem Mitzrayim Bebeis Avodim. Hashem took us out of Egypt with a strong hand. Now, he asks very simply, Mazreis, what is this? That's all he asks. At least he has enough seichel, enough intelligence to ask. But he doesn't ask with wisdom. He didn't ask, Moha chukim, Moha edus, Moha chukim, Moha mishpotim, what are the testimonies, what are the statutes, what are the mitzvahs. No, he merely says, Mazos, what is this? So he doesn't know how to distinguish. He doesn't know how to define. He doesn't know how to categorize or how to organize. So he's not the chochem. But he still has enough interest and intelligence. What he does ask, Mazos, where is his question written in the Torah? That's one of the psukim in our sedra. It's interesting. The Torah writes it by a particular mitzvah. And the mitzvah is that the Torah says that we are obligated to give the firstborn male of our animals to Hashem. We give them to the Kohanim and they become a sacrifice. Now this is of the kosher animals. Then, of the unkosher animals, we do not do this, but there is one exception, and that's the donkey. So we take the male child of the donkey, we separate it, and then we redeem it with a kosher animal, and we give we redeem it with a kosher animal. Chol peter chamo tifte v'seh. What happens if you do not redeem it? Then there's a mitzvah to kill it, to kill this donkey, and we kill it by varafte, by breaking its neck. So this is a very strange mitzvah. Here it states, here he asks, Mazreis, what is this? Now, why does the Torah place this question here? There's a level of wisdom. It's a certain wisdom, but it's an inferior wisdom. That a person will never wake up, he'll never be curious, he'll never be interested, unless a great phenomenon happens. Things that he sees every day will never arouse his attention. The fact that the sun rises, he'll never ask why does the sun rise. The fact that it always rises in the east and not in the west, he won't ask why in the east. The fact that it sets in the west, he will not ask why it sets in the west. The fact that water can come out of clouds, no, this he won't ask. What creates lightning and thunder, this will not interest him. And azegetos, this is how it goes. Once every 40 or 50 years, there will be a total eclipse. Okay. And that will be a field day for all of the media of the Western world. Say, it will be a field day. Millions and billions of dollars will be spent and made. All of a sudden, Time magazine will come out with a special edition. And the other magazines. And all of the newspapers. And television crews. See? Television crews and movie crews and radio crews will be sent from one end of the world to the other to capture this phenomenon. That all of a sudden there is a total eclipse for a matter of 20 minutes. And everyone will be talking about it. And if somebody doesn't know about it, you don't know about it. And everybody will be doing research on it as to why. This is the level, not of the chochem, see, because mass media doesn't cater for chachomim. Mass media must cater for the The fact is, if you see what they, if you see what they're selling, it's market orientated. They sell what the market wants to buy. If you see what they're selling, you'll see what the market they're dealing with. This is the mazos, that every miracle that will take place in our world, every second of the day, in the entire solar system, will never once cross their mind to think about it or to study it or to ask. Or of the billions of miracles that takes place every minute in the human body, no. But if there'll be something, a shinui, a change, then they'll want to know, Mazos, what is this? Why is this? Why did it happen? And so on. So this is it's a wisdom, but it's a very inferior type of wisdom. It means that the person is not a mavakesh chokhmah, he's not a mavakesh emes. He doesn't seek knowledge, he doesn't seek truth. He doesn't strive for greater heights. But if there's a jolt, he's jolted with a tremendous awakening, external awakening, so he'll react to it. He'll react to it. Actually, newspapers build their markets on this psychology. That's why they have to tell the public a news that will jolt them in order to arouse their interest. This is why they look for sensationalism. So this is the tam. And this is why he asks particularly by this mitzvah. This is one of the strangest mitzvahs in the Torah, that the Torah should come and tell us that we take a donkey. And if we don't redeem it, so we must kill it and kill it by breaking its neck. So on the other 612 mitzvahs, he didn't ask anything. But on this mitzvah, he wants to know. Now, we answer him, and we tell him, we give him a reason why. Because Hashem took us out of Egypt, and the donkey played a role there, because it states that every Jew that went out of Egypt, he had at least 10 donkeys laden with the wealth of Egypt, and so forth. So we answer him. So we see that here is a mitzvah to bring him close. We must not reject this person. We must be makar of him. It's a mitzvah to bring him close and to teach him and to try to arouse his interest. Since his interest in his learning processes comes only through an arousal, an external arousal, so we must do that. That's why we find that on Pesach night, when is the main mitzvah to teach the sons about all of this, the Gemara says that we should do many things in order that the children should ask. See, we do many shinuyim, we do many things on Pesach, which we do not usually do the year around, in order for the children to ask. For example, before the meal, we drink 2 cups of wine. All the time, we make kiddush on 1 cup of wine, and then we have the meal. On Pesach, we drink 2 cups of wine before the meal, and so forth. See. Sometimes you serve a salad one time. Here, we do it twice. So the Gemara says, why? Can they shishalu atinakis in order to awaken up these? Now this is not for the Chochem. The Chochem doesn't need it. But for the others, they need it. So in order to waken them up, in order to start their learning process. See? The learning process is, this is important. The learning process is very much like the digestive system of the person. When a person sits down to eat, he must have an appetite. If he doesn't have an appetite, his digestive system will not function properly. In order to do that, so it is the norm to serve something which will stimulate his appetite. See, it's called an appetizer. Serve something which will stimulate his appetite, and then he will be able to eat better, and the digestive systems will function properly. It's the same thing with the mind. A person, the mind has to be stimulated in order for it to think properly. So we must give it an appetizer. That's why it's always good that if you teach someone, ask him a question first. See, if you just start talking to him, his mind is still not functioning. his heart is closed. Ask him a question first. So this will awaken him. The Chacham won't need it so much, because he immediately is interested in learning. But even by the Chacham is good. Also, states that the young Talmidim arouse the wisdom of the Rebbe, just like twigs set great logs on fire. But especially when you're teaching an average son or an average student, so you have to arouse his attention. You must jolt him. So the best thing is to ask a question, a jolting type of question, and that will stimulate him. So therefore on Pesach we do many things, kidei shiyishalu atinaikis, in order to arouse their appetite. And this is the tam. Now we come to the fourth son. The fourth son is the Ein Yedei Lishol. He's the one who's written towards the end of our Sedra, and it states, V'yigadat televincha b'yemahu. You should tell your son on that day what Hashem did. Now, how do we know this is referring to the son that doesn't know how to ask? Because it doesn't say that Kisholcha bincha mocha lemor. It doesn't say that when your son will ask you, but rather it says, V'yigadat televincha, you shall tell him. So it's speaking what he didn't ask you, but you tell him. This is a son that doesn't even know how to ask when he sees a phenomenon. What type of son is this? Unfortunately, this is a great segment of the population. This is what we call apathetic people. Today we have people who for one of many reasons, are like zombies. They do not only they're not interested, they do not even react. A great deal of the reason could be is that they become desensitized because they're hammered and battered with so much. Today with the mass media, with the newspapers and the television and everything, they see everything, see, over and over and over again. And they become desensitized. And not only they're not interested in learning, but they do not even react to anything. For example, if you take someone, you go out deep into the country, you could meet people there who've never seen a building more than one story high. So they come into a city. They're full, they're aroused. But we see everything. We've even seen landings on the moon. See, so we see everything. To the point where we become desensitized. And we lose our interest in life. And the average person in the Western culture today, he suffers where he loses interest in life. He's apathetic. This is the Ein Yedei Lishol. He doesn't know how to ask. Because he's not curious. He's not interested to ask, to know. There's no reason. Unfortunately or tragically, go to the youth and you'll see that they've lost all interest in life. They don't have to struggle, they don't have to battle, they have things easy. At least it used to be. It states that a poor man's bread is far more delicious than a rich man's bread. It used to be a person had to battle to survive, and he had to just for the basic needs of man. He became very appreciative of them. Now we have everything and we lose our appreciation, we lose our sensitivity for it. And we get a situation of an Ein Yedei Lishol where we ask her nothing. Anything can happen, it means nothing to us. So what do you do with a son like that? You can't wait till he asks. You can't make phenomena in order to awaken him, because it won't awaken him. So here we have to teach him. We're going to have to do the asking and we're going to have to teach him. But how do you teach a son like that? So Rashi tells us, Rashi on this posuk states, he says, Beben shen yedei lishul, va'akosu melamdecho, the Torah teaches us Shetiftach le'ato b'divrei agodo Hameshkines aleiv. You cannot tell him this type of son, you cannot just start teaching because it won't go in. His heart is closed. You must teach him agodo. Agodo means the stories of the Talmud, because the stories opens up a person's heart. So you tell him the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't start with the hardcore learning with him to tell him all of the halachas, all of the laws of matzah, and all of the laws of Pesach, and all of the laws of Morar. It won't go in. What do you tell him? Mitzvah aleinu lesaper Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Stories he's interested in. See? He'll listen to stories. And when you tell him stories, so then he starts to perk up a bit, and his heart starts to open. Then, slowly, divrei hagodah meishkines aleiv, then you can teach him more. See? So this is the mitzvah of v'higareta levincha. Now, actually, this is your main mitzvah. It's a mitzvah all the time to teach. But on the Pesach night, which the parsha is speaking about, the main mitzvah is for this son. And that's why it's called, and that there's a mitzvah that night, v'higareta levincha, that you shall tell. And this is why the Haggadah is referred to as Haggadah, which means to tell. We don't wait for him to ask, but we must tell him. And this is the mitzvah, aleinu, l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah to tell over the story of the going out of Egypt. So here we have. In our Sedra, three times the Torah says, when your son will ask you, and so forth. And in Parshas Vaeschanan, a fourth time. And why do we need it four times? So the Chazal, the sages, learn that each one is referring to a different aspect, a different type of personality. And we must answer each one accordingly. Each son, and each student, and each person, we must answer accordingly. And this will be the key to communication. See, communication cannot be underestimated. Communication is actually the key to Klal Yisrael. Because what happened generations ago. What does it have to do with us, and what do we know about it? So therefore, the Torah gave the mitzvah that each generation must communicate with the next generation all that is said here. And this is a mitzvah all of the time, but in particular, every year, B'leil Pesach, on the night of Pesach. So therefore, the Torah teaches us here how we must communicate with each one. This is an explanation in the four sons.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.